Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is important and very timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is the reality of multifamily renovation workflow in 2022. I have joining me in the studio two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Marilyn Rivero, a regional account manager with First Onsite. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So it's kind of a daunting thing to think about right now with everything that's going on in the world. We used to be able to say several months ago, post-pandemic, but we can't say that anymore because new strains are popping up and everybody's having to kind of revert back to some of the things that we were doing in the midst of the first round of this. But that has really kind of interrupted the way multifamily assets do business in all areas of operations. But when it comes to renovations or construction work, there's a lot of things that you have to consider that you didn't have to consider and hopefully won't have to consider once we get past this. Tell us a little bit, Stephanie, about some of the things that where we are today with this.
Sure. You know, I think that it's interesting that you say the things that have changed because of the pandemic, and hopefully we won't have to see those in the future. And I think that my theory on this is that this is, you know, you hear it all the time, the new normal, the new reality, but lots of things that we've seen over the last 12 months, 18 months, I think are going to be long lasting effects, mm-hmm. not only because of pandemic and things related to that, but, you know, the workforce is changing. So I think that affects everything we do from the labor market to, you know, pay and how the renovations are budgeted and what we consider. So I think we're adjusting as an industry for a long term effect rather than just to get through. And I think maybe in 2021, we were thinking, okay, we just have to get through. We put a lot of things on hold. We stopped renovation projects. I know I told my owners, let's just hunker down. Don't spend any money. Let's wait on renovations and see what happens just to preserve the rent roll and not have any extra burden on people in terms of rental increases because we were just trying to keep people in their homes. And so I think that mentality that I had last year is continued into this year, where it's not necessarily hunker down, but it's really let's analyze where we're going as an economy, what people can afford, what they're willing to pay, and then make those decisions on how renovation is going to affect that.
Yeah. And Marilyn, what are you seeing as far as today?
Yeah, I think 2021, definitely there's always been a miscommunication between, you know, the contractor and the office, right? But now it has to be streamlined. There has to be more transparency. And if we embrace what happened last year and just say, okay, we have to find ways to communicate where we're not just walking together or coming to the property, but we're sending reports with pictures and it's a daily thing. So that way the owners that don't want to come out or the managers that are not on site or the offices that are closed can still know what's happening on a daily basis. And, you know, we're texting and emailing and sending pictures and just opening all strands of communication has been detrimental for, you know, for us to continue within the business and keep everything flowing.
Yeah, it's a good point, Marilyn, because it's, you know, we historically, you know, we would have a renovation and a contractor would come out and walk through the process and would walk the unit and punch it and decide what's going to happen. And then, you know, now what we're facing is the manager might be there for the first punch. And then two weeks later, when you're ready to, you know, go through the second, she's out with COVID. So mm-hmm. then you have a new assistant yes. coming in. Maybe the maintenance guy's out. And so just the flow of information has dramatically changed how we're communicating, when we're communicating. You know, we use First Onsite, Marilyn's company, for some of our projects. And this has been the first time we've utilized them and seeing the difference on how they do send weekly updates, where their contractors and whoever they have inside of a unit are sending pictures of what's happening has really helped with people working remotely or the office is not being open. or our ability to communicate that on a regular basis to owners, and even for move-ins, right, to schedule what that's going to look like, knowing if you're behind.
And that's a good point, because you know, I have the opportunity to talk to not only management companies, but as other vendors or supplier partners to the industry. And it just seems like around the country, when I'm having these conversations, they're saying, oh, you know, we've had six people out with COVID this week, or our residents are, you know, we have a big influx of residents that have COVID. And all of those touch points, as far as the on-site team that is there, they've got to be healthy. The residents have to be healthy so you can get into the units to do the work. And then your contractors or supplier partners have to have a healthy staff to be able to come in and do the work. Right. How is that, Stephanie, how has that slowed down what you've seen, I guess, for the last year and a half?
Yeah, I mean, immensely. I mean, we continuously say we have to practice patience, right? And some mentalities haven't changed, right? We still need things to process quickly. We still have loans that we have to get through in a certain amount of time. We've got responsibilities that we've got to meet deadlines. But it becomes harder and harder when you have less people. We have 100 people at Q10, and we at the max had 22 people out.
Mm.
So, you know, on a small property, when you have one or two people, that can really impact. And then you mix that with holidays. So you have to take holidays off, right? So people are taking the holidays off. Mm-hmm. And then you have the people that are supposed to be covering for those holidays that are sick. So then the people, yeah, it just becomes really like a game of Tetris to see where things fit into place. So not only has the construction part of what we've done slowed down, but the delivery of services has slowed down.
And then if you consider that, and that the real estate market is booming, and
yes,
there's all these due diligences, and then there's, you know, and there's staff is out, and
changes in market. And
yes.
Yeah. So all of those together, mm-hmm, just puts more and more stress on people. And then, you know, people are angry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, residents are angry. I mean, yeah, we've gotten more complaints than we ever have gotten in the last 6 months. And some of them are completely unwarranted. Some of them are, you know, like, your office isn't open. Yeah, right. I know it's not open. I would love to be there, but everybody has COVID. So give us a week.
How do you typically communicate to your residents? Because it's a change. It's like a moving target that's changing all the time.
I was just going to say that, you know, also what the expectation now is of the resident, you know, just as for us, the management company, on the communication level is on a different level totally, right? The transparency has got to be there in order for either the resident or the client, in my part of it, understands and realizes, okay, well, it's not going to be today. It's going to be tomorrow. You know, the product isn't in, or all of those things.
Yeah, that's been a real struggle, especially when you're using a contractor for maybe replacing an AC or whatever you're doing, and then they're supposed to show up. Maybe my manager's out, so you know they show up. There's nobody there, or they don't show up, and we don't know till the next day because they didn't know, right? Mm-hmm. They hired someone. It's this chain of
the resident doesn't want to let them in, or you know, it's mm-hmm. just
yeah. So we try to communicate regularly. You know, we have text messaging, we have Facebook, we have, you know, all of those electronic means. And I've said repeatedly that I feel like communication has gotten harder, not easier, in the technology era. Mm-hmm. You know, in the 90s, we just would put a note on the door and it was your responsibility to see it, right?
Yeah, right.
Now it's like, I have to text you, I have to call you, I have to send you an email, I have to put it on the gate, I've got to send you a letter, right? A mm-hmm. pigeon. And then they'll still say, well, I know you sent me an email, but did you text me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, really? You know what I mean? So I think that it's gotten harder with more avenues, and the expectation has gotten yes. higher, right?
Yeah. And I guess the residents' complaints that, I mean, you mentioned complaints. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit of some of the ones that you think are not valid. That you're seeing today.
Yeah, we need it. This is another show. I think the biggest frustration in what we're dealing with right now, you know, I'm active in the apartment association and we have all kinds of legislative updates. And the struggle right now is with rental assistance. And so we're getting lots of complaints and concerns about people that have applied for rental assistance from multiple arenas and gotten multiple arenas. Maybe they've gotten it from Baker Ripley and from Texas Rent Relief, and then maybe a private, you know, church. That money comes in, and maybe they applied for the same months. And so now there's a cross-reference. So they're realizing that the suppliers are realizing that that money's been duplicated. So they come back to us as a landlord and say, we've overpaid you. We double paid you for June, July, and August. We need you to send that money back. they say they communicate with the resident, but all the resident knows is I had a credit and now you've taken my money and I don't have a credit anymore. And I'm getting eviction filed or I'm getting a notice in my door. So we've gotten multiple complaints about, you know, I wouldn't say it's an error on their part. I think that they applied for things and they came in and they got them, but they just weren't really certain on how they were going to be applied.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we are going to be back right after these messages with more on this topic, very timely and important topic to our industry and multifamily business. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EConserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EConserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is the reality of multifamily renovation workflow in 2022. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Marilyn Rivero, an account manager with First Onsite. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Let's kind of take it. We kind of in the first segment discussed where we are, where we've been, pandemic related. Now let's kind of take a step by step look at if a asset needs to do some renovations. You know, what's the first step, and what should people be expecting time wise to get these different tasks accomplished based on all the different issues that's facing us today?
Yeah, it's definitely been an adjustment. I mean, you know, before we could say, okay, we can have this done in 15 days. We're gonna order the granite, we're gonna order the flooring, we're gonna order appliances, and we could probably calculate that in, you know, next day or 2 to 3 days max. Now we have to put together a timeline and say, okay, you know, granite is going to take a week to get it in. Mm-hmm. Appliances are 3 months behind, so we're going to have to, you know, account for that and how much can we do in that, so that when they do get in, we can finally just go in and install them and not have to leave that apartment, you know, just standing there for 3 months. So it's definitely been a challenge, but I think being proactive and knowing if, you know, you have a scope of work for this project, then you kind of start ordering, even if you don't know exactly how many it's going to end up being, but just trying to anticipate your needs for that is crucial right now for us.
Yeah, that's been a real adjustment, and that planning time, you know, I hate to say this, but multifamily people are tend to be last minute, right? Like we're gonna get it done. And that has changed dramatically. We're having to buy more supplies and keep them in stock because it's harder to get them. So, you know, faucets, fixtures, appliances are a real struggle and continue to be a struggle. So we have to be very careful about when we decide to renovate an apartment, because that vacancy loss can really add up. So we've got to schedule it in a time frame and pre-plan and say, okay, in July, we're going to have 5 units that we're going to turn. Let's make sure that we get those appliances in order, ready to go, so that by July, we've got everything we need. I mean, it's literally a 60 to 90 day planning period on looking at what your availability is and making sure that when these apartments are available, you have what you need. Because if you don't, you're either going to have to leave them as is, because the supplies aren't in, or you're going to have to leave them vacant for longer periods of time. And I think it's an adjustment on everybody's end. You know, we've got, you know, levels of frustration on all ends. We've got owners that are frustrated because they don't understand, or all they hear is in the marketplace that all the rents are going up and, you know, all the apartments are full and why can't we get people to move in immediately? And so, you know, the reality is that not all apartments are raising rents, you know, not all of them can, you know, so, that struggle from making sure that we're planning our processes in place. And it's not only just renovation work, it's basic things, mm-hmm. right? It's just things that break.
Yes. It's very much a guessing game to know what it is that you're, you know, it's going to take next day delivery or 3 month delivery. You just don't know at this point. So being able to have that communication, again, going back to that, and say, you know, usually it will take us 14 days to have this, you know, renoed for you, but right now we don't know what the supplies are going to be. And, you know, what we have thankfully is, you know, at a higher amount, because we can account for that, but that's not the case for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And making sure too, that you have relationships in place are super important. You know, you might have, you know, I have a relationship with whoever, ABC contractor, and I have BC contractor that comes in and says, well, I can get that done in 3 weeks. Why are they saying it's going to take a month? It's not going to take a month. I can get it done. If you don't have a relationship with that supplier and you decide to go down that route, the costs can be much more expensive in time lost. And, you know, in being flexible with the supplies you get too, we can't get all the same faucets that we got, you know, 2 years ago. We're having to go, okay, if we kind of get a brushed nickel, that's great. Maybe we're going to get a chrome because we got to just get a sink in there. We got to get a faucet in there. So having flexibility in what you plan for your renovations is important as well.
You know, taking it to, it seems like the very first step in a process of doing some type of renovation or construction is getting a price and or a bid or quote. Has that slowed down?
So getting them... An example, we do due diligences, and we'll go out on property and you give an idea of what's happening. We have a plumber come out and look at boilers and electrical, look at lights. Sometimes the lead time for those isn't great. You know, at the beginning of the week that you're going to have it at the end of the week. Getting contractors on the schedule, getting a plumber to come out and look at things is very challenging. They're like, we'll try to get you in, but COVID, right? All those things. So being flexible has become super important. I've learned everything I need to send my plumber in terms of bidding a boiler, right? I know the numbers I needed to keep track of, the boiler permits I need to, so I can give him pictures of everything that he would have seen if he was on property, send them over at the beginning of the day so that by the end of the day, I can FaceTime him if he still needs to see something while I'm on property, because you know, he can do it in the evening or some other time and not have to send an estimator out. So it's changed dramatically.
Is there always that caveat that once we get out there and look at it, it could change?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And bids, more and more bids have time sensitive stamps on them now. We used to see kind of a blanket bid and then we could go through that process. Sometimes it would take 60 days to get an approval. And now most bids have a 30-day window of this is only good for 30 days because we don't know what the supply chain is, or we're going to be backed up with work and we need to change our pricing. So, and everything is starting later.
Yeah. And my part of it, I've seen when I visit properties, like if I'm out of Houston, if I'm in New Caney or San Marcos. They'll say, no one comes out here. Like, I call and I call and I call, and they don't send anyone. I've been waiting, you know, 3 weeks for a gate bid. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, let me send you someone tomorrow. But it's just, it's hard. It's hard to be able to accommodate all of the outer cities of Houston because there's not that much manpower right now.
And part of it is COVID, right? Mm-hmm. Part of it is the nature of being sick. Part of it is I don't want to, people are saying I don't want to do it because I don't want the chance of being sick. And it also, people are realizing their worth, right? So I've had people say, like, I don't leave my house for under $150 an hour, right? Oh, okay. Right? That must be nice. And so, you know, I think all of those components are going to pose challenges now and into the future that we maybe haven't anticipated or have underestimated.
And Stephanie, in your portfolio, I know you have some properties that are in other markets other than the major market. Are you finding it more difficult, as Marilyn mentioned, to get people to accommodate you with bids and quotes?
Yes, absolutely. It takes much longer.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of the time we want at least two bids. And if they're far off, you know, if you get a bid for $10,000 and a bid for $22,000, then we've got to get another bid. Mm-hmm. And so and then people don't, you know, if you're overbidding, if you're overutilizing your suppliers so that you're bidding things and then they're not getting business from it, then that's even more challenging because they're like, I've bid six times and you haven't used me at all. I'm not going to come all the way out there again.
Yeah.
Definitely getting that.
Especially when they may be shorthanded with COVID and so forth.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you're going to drive out, and what are the chances, right? You really have to prioritize, and relationships are important. You know, you really have to prioritize as a supplier partner where you're going to spend your time, you know, and as a managing person, you need to really utilize your resources productively. You know, I try to use multiple supplier partners to bid things so that I'm not overusing one. But you know, it does pose a challenge.
Yeah, Stephanie, you mentioned that in multifamily, everybody tends to be last minute. So, kind of looking backwards to the pre-pandemic, you know, you probably had a time frame that you would allow once a project was decided, we need to start getting prices and so forth. The whole process of getting everything done, there was a time frame. That's changed, obviously, now.
Yes, yeah.
So what's the differences from, call it before and after?
So I would say it's about 6 months. So it's elongated the process about 6 months. We try to, once we take over a property and we have a renovation plan, we try to get everything done within a 12-month period. And some of the loan documents require that you get that done within a 12-month period. So we're also seeing that lenders are much more flexible. You know, we have a property that we finished the renovation, but we still have $150,000 worth of money that we haven't spent yet because people have stayed in their apartments longer. And so we've asked for extensions to utilize that money. And they're overall flexible. But the banks are crunched too. There's so many transactions that are happening and so many trading of properties that we found that the lenders are struggling as well to keep up with the pace. We've had closings delayed because loan documents can't get produced in a timely manner. So I feel like every aspect of the system has been stretched and tested over the last 12 to 18 months.
So the new normal is if you have something you want to get done, you need to give yourself 6 months to put everything in place.
Yes, absolutely. You know, something simple like a concrete repair, maybe not. Yeah. But if you're doing any sort of major renovation that you're going to have pricing, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we are going to leave it there for this segment. We're going to be back with another segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegiant's access control product offerings, please visit usallegiant.com/MFM.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing today an important topic to the multifamily industry, the reality of multifamily renovation workflow in 2022. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Marilyn Rivero, an account manager with First OnSite. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security issues. Allegiant, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties, and CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. Stephanie, in the last segment, we talked a lot about bidding and the time frame that it takes for bidding and so forth. Let's talk a little bit about what everybody is hearing on the news in every walk of life right now, and that are supply chain issues. How is that affecting what we are seeing in multifamily?
It's been a challenge in terms of product, whether a renovation or whether just day-to-day fixing of, air filters or faucets or, light bulbs in some cases, N95 masks. Mm-hmm. All of those have been a struggle. It's finding creative ways to make sure that the needs are met while still making sure that you're not blowing the budget. Everything is more expensive. So you have inflation and you have supply chain issues, supply and demand. And so we're finding that we've got to go different routes than the normal maintenance supply providers to make sure that we're at least meeting the basic needs. And then budgets are increasing too. So everything's more expensive, and a $3,500 to $4,500 renovation a couple years ago was easily into the 5,000s, sometimes 6,000s with appliance wait time. So it's been a challenge overall. Prices of properties are more expensive. So that's one area. So, and then when you renovate them or you have to upgrade, even deferred maintenance, those things are more expensive. So the price tags of everything are going up. And, unfortunately, that goes back to the renter at some point.
Let me ask you this question. How do you, because everybody knows in multifamily when budget season starts, you're starting in August, whatever it might be, to budget for the following year. So how can you anticipate and how do you handle that as far as making sure when the project is done, maybe a year after you started budgeting, that you have the correct amount in there, enough to cover what you need? What do you do?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard, right? Even for us, like she was saying, we have to put everything, this scope of work is for 30 days because we don't know what that's going to look like for our cost. If you think back to factories aren't working at their full capacity as they were before. They're having the same shortage of people as we are, on site or in our offices. So it's a snowball effect, having to prepare and being flexible and making sure that the main services that you offer, like in my instance, that we have at least that machinery so that we can make sure that we're, if something does happen, then we can be the emergency response.
Mm-hmm. Flexibility and communication, right? So just making sure that setting clear expectations with owners is important as well. We're constantly doing performance for new clients and running through that process. I mean, a property can only cash flow so much. And so backing into that number to figure out what you can renovate and what you can spend on each renovation. Ideally, we try to underpromise and overdeliver, but we're finding that certainly a perfect example is paint. We had no idea what the paint increases were going to be over the last 12 months, and we've completely and totally burned through the paint budget. We had burned through our paint budget in 6 months.
Wow!
Because paint was literally double, and that's if we could get it. We also were finding we couldn't use eggshell because eggshell was completely off the market, mm-hmm. right? So we had to switch to a flat paint, or we had to switch different brands. So, that wasn't only the COVID situation. I think there was some, you know, flooding involved and those sorts of things. So, how do you anticipate the unanticipated items, right? And mm-hmm. it's creating a level of trust with your ownership and with your clients so that you can make sure that, you know, when I come to you and I say that we've blown through our paint budget, I think creating clear expectations is important and making sure that you're communicating on a regular basis. We do a budget variance, and so that helps, that we can say, you know, we've done this many paints and it's increased 22% in the last 6 months. So we also are having to make tough decisions on maybe we're doing more touch-up paints than we did before. We're not changing the color because we can't get it. So the walls are going to be white and we're just going to deal with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think in the beginning of it all, multifamily has been very much the same way for many, many, many years. So I think the only positive to this is the word flexibility being added to on-site and to supervisors and ownership, which before was very much black and white. This is how it needs to get done. This is how long this should take. There was no room for growing or adding technology or, you know, more openness to embracing new items. And now, if the pandemic has left anything, is definitely that, you know, we've become stronger in the aspect that we have had to rely more on our relationships and our communication and our technology. And, just being open has definitely changed everything. Mm-hmm. In a closed time, right? Being open in a closed time.
And Stephanie, I remember that there was a time where some management companies would try to take some of the construction and renovation aspects of a property and have their maintenance teams do it. Mm-hmm. With the labor shortage and you know, every poll I've seen that has come out of Swift Money or Grace Hill or any of those folks says that the big area where people need employees is in on-site maintenance. Mm-hmm. How has that changed? And what have you done as far as getting those tasks you would have done in-house? How do you handle that?
Yeah, that's been a huge, I wouldn't say fight, but that's been a real item of contention with many owners, because we repeatedly, you know, they're not dealing with the people problems that we deal with, right? I say property management is easy, people management is hard. And that's what we have to deal with is, you know, well, why can't we clean those gutters in-house? Well, because I only have one maintenance man, mm-hmm. and I don't want him on a 12-foot ladder risking cleaning out gutters when I need him for the next process, right? Mm-hmm. So that's certainly been a struggle. We still try to do as much in-house as we can. But we also have analyze how long it's going to take for your maintenance team to do a job and then determine if you're really getting a good ROI by making him do that, you know, spending 4 hours or 6 hours replacing one AC unit. It may be $500 cheaper, but if I hire an AC company to come out and replace it, I can use him for 22 tickets in that time frame. So it's become even more of a struggle. And as you're keeping and trying to keep maintenance personnel, they also... It's also a double-edged sword, because then they also have the mentality that I shouldn't have to do that, mm-hmm. because I'm the only one here. So it's a balance between making them not, I don't want to say spoiled, but but you know, the level of expectation on what their job is different than it used to be.
And now you also consider that, back in the day, a maintenance supervisor was 10, 15 years in, and there was not much that person hadn't seen or done, or, you know, at least try to tape up. But now you're seeing a lot more greener maintenance supervisors 1 year in, 2 years in. So that also affects all of it, right?
Absolutely.
Like, this person thinks that he knows how to, you know, do electricity. And you're like, oh, my gosh, you're going to burn down the building. So considering all of that.
And on this topic, Marilyn, are you seeing companies that are contacting you to try and get some of those easier tasks that they would have used their maintenance
Absolutely.
For, but because they don't have the...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And are you able to respond quickly to
We them? Are. On our way over here, I was telling her, you know, we have a Dallas office. And, you know, we're very blessed in that we have very a lot of brick-and-mortar offices in Texas. So if anything is ever going to happen in Houston, we have, you know, Dallas on standby. We have Austin on standby. And we have lots of machinery and equipment that will come down very quickly, manpower. So thankfully, you know, we have the resources to be able to say we're here, you know, we're going to fix this for you. We're going to get it done.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I have some smaller supplier partners that I utilize for, you know, turns or for, I don't want to say little jobs, but, you know, to replace fencing or those sorts of things. And they have become more and more, you know, strapped for time as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'll send an email out and say, okay, I have these projects coming up. Are you even willing to bid? Right. And there's times when they're like, I'm not willing to bid. I need to use my resources on an entire renovation project. I don't have people to come over and do five fence repairs.
Yeah.
So that becomes a struggle because, yeah. you know, who do I get to do that work if I can't get the small guys to do it? Right. That are looking for work.
And now a lot of the questions are, you know, is there a warranty for your work? Because they've given the little guy so many chances and then they've had to fix it two or three times, and then you finally have to get someone in that will say, yes, we have 1 year warranty in our, you know, on our work. And that's probably what benefits the property the best at the end of the day.
To me, that's amazing, because I would guess that 2 years ago, if you called someone and said, would you like to bid this, they would have jumped through hoops
yes.
to bid it for you. And now you're struggling to find people.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. All right, well, we're going to end this segment here. We are going to be back right after these messages with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing an important topic, which is the reality of multifamily renovation workflow in 2022. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Marilyn Rivero, an account manager with First Onsite. Stephanie, let's talk a little bit about the best practices of, let's call it, the workflow of renovation work mm-hmm. going forward in the midst of or coming out of a pandemic? What are the best practices that you believe should be put in place?
So, you know, we've always had some sort of CapEx plan, right, where we budget for CapEx things in the 1, 3, and 5-year plan. And I think that will continue. You know, Marilyn talked a little bit about the good thing that came out of being closed was the openness and flexibility. I think the flexibility of working with suppliers on a different level, making sure that communication is handled. You know, I've done some work with First On-Site, and I have never had another construction company communicate with pictures of what's happening on a regular basis. And that, to me, it kind of, I was like, wow, this can happen. I've always talked about it. I've told the carpet vendors it would be really helpful if you took a picture when you got there, if you took a picture when the carpet's up and you're installing, and then when you took a picture at the end and, you know, gave me that process. Because, you know, it's much more effective when I can justify things to an owner of what's been done on a regular basis. And I know that weekly or daily communication when you're inside of the renovation process has been super helpful for us. So I know for us as a company, the expectation has been set differently in terms of what we expect from our supplier partners during that process. A best practice for us is going to be we expect that pictures will be delivered on the process of what's happening. So that certainly has been imperative for us. And, you know, I think it came out of this for us, but because of a necessity, but it's also helpful going forward.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel from a best practices standpoint that you need to require from your on-site team when it comes to this? They're there day to day. So what are some of the things that they need to be doing for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, the inspection process of a unit that's vacant, you know, we all do move out final account statements where when they move out, we're doing a final account statement and doing photos of what's happening in the apartment. We've added to that they are required to now do an inspection at move in. So, you know, they would go punch the apartment and make sure it was fine. But now we're having, you know, we use an app where they need to do an audit before someone moves in and then an audit after someone moves out. So that way there's clear communication on this is what the expectation was before you got here and this is what it is after. Because there is, you know, the other problem that we're seeing is it's more of a litigious society. Mm-hmm. People are angry and they want to get paid for their frustration, and it doesn't cost much to file a lawsuit these days.
Is the audit that you have done, standard enough, because there is turnover in our industry. So mm-hmm. the person who did the pre-audit and the person does the post-audit may not be the same person.
Yeah.
So do you have to, is that a layer of training that you mm-hmm. have to provide?
Yeah. And, you know, we have a template that fits in, you know, picture of kitchen, picture of appliances, picture of flooring, picture of, you know, electrical outlets, if there's a GFI. So it's a preset template that you kind of fill in the blanks with the pictures of. You know, there's always going to be, it never fails. Whatever I need a picture of, I'm not going to have.
This
right?
is true.
That's always true. Yeah. So, or when, you know, we'll get the pictures and I'll be like, did you even look at these before you sent them? Like, I don't even know what this is.
Yeah.
So, you know, people are the problem, Paul. We know this.
That's right. Well, I want to ask Marilyn, but you had mentioned that for years you'd been trying to get people to shoot the photographs and now you're starting to see some people mm-hmm. come around. Would you say that you're more apt to want to use as a supplier partner the people who provide you that type of backup because it makes your job easier?
Absolutely. And it's interesting when I present bids, you know, we present it on a bid sheet where it has our first, second, and third. And every time we have a communication and they ask for a recommendation, I'm like, well, like this one's a little higher, but I have to say this is the part that I love about what they do. And, you know, they provide this update. And I think some GCs or some contractors are just not equipped because they contract out that process.
Right.
So they don't necessarily have somebody on property, a foreman every day, and they're relying on a third party carpet supplier to come in and meet
complete
the expectations
the work
of the
and
company.
Do the, yeah. Adding to the best practices, you know, valuing people's time because everyone is so short right now, making sure that when the supplier partner comes out and bids the work or, you know, is there to just show face. Valuing that, you know, they came out to the property to inspect the work or that you have two or three people there, you know, ready and available to you is key on our part, you know, but also valuing that they're giving you that resource and their people is I've seen it now, but you know, some people don't realize how difficult it is to have two or three people in one property for something that might not even go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That due diligence process for sure. I think the other thing is, we've seen that the relationship between the supplier partners and the maintenance team and the management team is tighter, mm-hmm. because there's times when you might have a vendor or a supplier be on property and they're showing up and there's no one else there because the team's sick with COVID.
Mm.
Yes. And so, you know, it's yes. now it's opened the door to, they can call them on their cell phone, mm-hmm. and have that relationship, mm-hmm. where like, I'm at the property, where's building two?
Mm-hmm.
I get more and more, I mean, suppliers calling me like, hey, I'm at the property, we're doing this sewer clean out, like where, and I'm like, hey, can you FaceTime me? So, you know, those connections, I think, in terms of trusting each other and having understanding that they're on your side when they go on the property, I think have grown. And I think that I anticipate that will continue into the future. I think supplier partners are seeing it more as their, not as their job to do the work, but their job to help the managers do their work.
Right.
We've got a couple minutes left before I want to transition to something else, but let's talk a little bit about the future. What do you anticipate is going to be happening in the future with all this?
Yeah, no one could have, maybe Nostradamus, but no one could have anticipated the crazy things that we're experiencing with, you know, all at the same time, right? We have sickness, we have labor shortages, we have, you know, I guess if you go back to an economist, they might say, well, like, this is basic. Of course you're going to have supply chain issues when people are sick, right? But I don't think we really process that was going to happen. It's almost like we have to process what it was like to have three floods in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully we all take the information that we've been given and utilize it to be better at what we do, anticipating what it's going to be like anticipating what it's like in a year or 2 years as the labor shortage continues is something we're planning on now. We're hiring younger, less seasoned maintenance personnel because we're seeing that in the future we're going to groom them up where they need to be. So providing a job track, I think, is important for us to make sure that we're maintaining our people. I think they reported that 2021 was the first year that colleges had less enrollment than they'd had previously. And so it was the first year it didn't grow. Mm-hmm. So less people are starting to see that maybe I don't want to go to college. Maybe, you know, having a trade job is better. So I think that's a shift in the mentality of the workforce that will help us in the future, because we weren't having people that were willing to do that. And so I think anticipating that workforce challenges in the future has got to be something that we focus on.
Okay. Well, I want to transition to off of this topic on to letting each of you tell a little bit about yourselves and your companies and what's going on. And Marilyn, we can start with you. Tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into multifamily. You got about 2 minutes, and also a little bit first on-site.
Okay, so I started in the business about 14 years ago as a leasing agent, and I just made my way up from there. Recently, I switched over to First On-Site. I used them at the property where I was at, and I was very happy with the work that they performed. And it's being in the industry for so long, I've worked with so many construction companies, I would have never thought that this was going to be the path where I was going to that I was going to take. But you know, the values that we have and as a whole, how they work is what really brought me into wanting to do this. So we work with remediation, reconstruction, fire, flood, or blood. Mm-hmm. We're there. So we're 24-hour emergency service response, as we are, you know, a remodeling, or whether it's a kitchen or an office, you know, we can pretty much do it. We want to be the one-stop shop for our clients, be the foundation of, they can just call and say, if you can't do it, can you find me someone? And, you know, that's what we want to be.
And you're based in Houston, but you cover other markets yourself.
Yes, correct.
In Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But First On-Site has a presence not only in the United States, but in Canada.
Correct.
So you have locations pretty much everywhere. If someone needed it. So
correct.
If someone wanted to reach out to you, how could they do that?
They can call me on my cell phone. My number is 832-341-4087. My email, marilyn.rivero@firstonsite.com.
Okay.
Look at that. See?
Yeah.
Cell phones on the radio. You can get that. That's the best practice.
Stephanie, what's going on with Q10 and with you?
Yeah, so 2021 was a booming year for us, so we've grown a great deal. And so supporting that staff and making sure that we supporting those owners is important going forward. We're a third-party property management firm. We do consulting as well, and I do training. And then I'm also actively involved with the Houston Apartment Association, and so I like to kind of talk a little bit about what's going on with that. And, you know, largest apartment association in the nation, which is amazing. And lots of things going on, supporting the legislative efforts. You know, we had an eviction moratorium last year. And so if anybody is looking to get involved and get a seat at the table, Houston Apartment Association is the place to do that. We're recruiting for PAC membership. That's our political action committee. If you're not a member and you're a supplier and or an apartment manager or owner, it's imperative that we get as much enrollment and participation as possible, because legislation is changing. Who would have thought that a real estate mogul would have worked on getting an eviction moratorium, right? Who would have guessed that? So I think that all of these things that are happening from the legislative front are affecting us positively and negatively. And so it's more and more important to get involved in the Apartment Association and support those efforts for education as well. Having educational opportunities for your teams is important, and making sure that there's a structure there to voice what's happening on a local level and a national level.
And you also serve as an educator for the association.
I do, yes. Yeah, I serve on the National Apartment Association, Texas, and then local Houston Apartment Association.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And anything coming up with that you...
Oh, yes. So I picked a great year. In 2020, we decided we were going to do a multifamily immersion summit, which was an education session on a cruise ship. Mm-hmm. Who would have picked a better year than the COVID year to do that? So that, needless to say, has been postponed. So we hope to have it this year. We hope to have it in November of this year. So we get out on a boat, do some education, and bond and immerse yourself in multifamily. So we're super excited.
I don't think she mentioned she was president 2023.
I will be president of the Apartment Association in 2023.
All right. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, thank you, ladies. This has been great. And by the way, if someone wants to reach out to you, how can they do
that? So Stephanie G, at Q10PA.com.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, it's been great having you here. We'll do it again sometime soon. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.